Local Resident Alien with
Liz Bowen.
Yeah.
Oh, are we?
Well, we do a little preamble and then, like, we just start the show and
okay.
Kind of fade it in.
It's kind of a casual introduction.
Oh my God. I love it.
So, hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody. I'm Clayton.
I'm Jordy.
This is the Props Cast.
Welcome to the party.
Welcome to the party.
Do you know why we say welcome to the party?
Oh.
When we have a guest.
Oh, but so it's not a party when it's just the two of you?
Yeah. No. When it's the two of us, we say welcome home.
Oh. Yeah. Friends.
Okay, today our guest is the lovely and talented Liz Bowen.
Aww.
Do you like to be called Elizabeth or Liz?
No, Liz is fine.
Yeah. Liz is fine.
Yeah.
We know you as Liz, and sometimes yes. I call you Liv.
Yeah, that's a little bit.
Accident. I know. I do the same.
Yeah, guys, it's okay.
You can see how that happens.
But there are people who don't actually on the crew who don't actually know my name. They're like, "Hey, Liv." I'm like, "Okay,
all right.
We'll just stick with that."
Okay, we might as well get it out of the way right away that Liz Bowen works with us mm-hmm. on a TV show called Resident Alien.
That's right.
Which Clayton and I have worked on for 2 seasons.
Correct.
And Liz has worked on for, believe it or not, 3 seasons, the entirety of the show.
Believe it or not. Thank you.
Because you play Liv, oh my God.
Baker.
Liv Baker.
A memorable character for JoJo.
Or as my mom calls her, the deputy.
The deputy. Oh, that's so cute. The deputy. Oh, I love that. That is cute.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi, Clayton. I call Clayton Clayfla and yeah. Jordan JoJo, just in case. I just want to give you a little bit of a legend there for my vocal map.
I know, and then everybody started calling me that a little bit.
JoJo did
it annoy you? A lot of the actors did. Alice did. No, that's fine. But there is a guy who's a stand-in on the show.
Who's JoJo?
Whose actual name is JoJo.
Yes. No, I know.
So I had to explain to him the scenario.
Yeah, I
and
know.
And he signed off on it.
And I would see JoJo like kind of just grudgingly like accept my nickname of him. But it was just so funny watching him because he seemed a little grumpy, which gave me great joy.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell if I'm grumpy or not, though, because I was born with this face.
Oh, no, I know. But I think I can tell the difference between when you're just JoJo face and grumpy face.
Generally, I'm not.
Even with the mask on?
Yes.
Mm.
It's because of my 11s.
My 11s. Or is it because of my wrinkles?
No, it's not because of the wrinkles. It's just okay. Like your demeanor.
Okay.
I'm like, oh, Papa's cranky about
Papa
something.
Papa Bear.
Papa Bear's cranky.
So in the show, you play a deputy.
Yes.
In a small town.
Yeah.
Known as Patience, Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And the sheriff is played by Corey. God, what's his
Reynolds.
Last name? Oh my God. Thank God you're here, Clayton. I can't remember people's names.
I've got the call sheet here.
It is a beloved show by many.
That's lovely to hear. I mean, I've heard good things, but you never know, right? Because like you feel like you're not getting the real story when you bump into people.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I know we all enjoy the show and we've seemed to have some like hardcore, like diehard fans of the show, too, which are so nice. They're like, mm-hmm. I've watched season 1 and 2 6 times now. When are you guys coming back for season 3? And I was like, I haven't watched season 1 and 2 6 times. But
I've seen, to me, and I'm not going to give any info on season 3, but to me, season 3, just watching it from a crew perspective on set
mm-hmm.
is the funniest and most interesting one yet, I think.
Yeah. Oh, good. Opinion. I know we all had a lot of fun doing it, and it was fun to do a season that was like a little more condensed because last season was 16.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it was a lot.
Yeah.
It was fun and it was funny, but it was tough. It was a tough shoot.
Was it?
A little bit. Yeah. I was going to ask you that. How do you feel? Because it's truly, this show is truly an ensemble cast.
Yeah.
We will call it that.
Yes.
How do you feel? Like, is it night? Do you prefer that, obviously? Or like as to being like in every day, or do you prefer to have the couple of days off here and there? Or how is that for an actor?
I mean, see, I don't really have much to compare it to. Like, I've done some like recurring characters on different shows, but not obviously to this extent where like I'm on it every episode, but I like that it's an ensemble. I mean, thank goodness, like, we all genuinely love each other, because maybe you wouldn't think it was so great to have a big cast if, like, people weren't getting along. But so many different actors to potentially do scenes with, which is nice.
I wanted to ask you about that, actually, because normally you're with Corey, because Corey plays the sheriff, so you two are constantly together.
Yes.
And you have such a great rapport, the two of you, like, as performers, like, just natural chemistry. It's so funny to watch. But then, do you find when you get a scene with, like, Sarah or Alice or anybody else, do you feel like you have to, is that harder to play your character when you don't have that constant banter that Corey gives you?
To go, well, that's a good question. That's a good question, Clayflaw. That is a good question, because, and this is something that I've discussed with Chris Sheridan, who's the showrunner of our show. He's our boss and, you know, the guy. And Liv is different. She's different with different people.
Mm.
I mean, that's what we're in life too, right? Like we act sort of one way with one friend and maybe a slightly different way with another friend. And because, like, you know, Alice's character and Sarah's character and Levi's character, like, we've all grown up together, our characters.
In the town.
Right. We've all known each other forever. So I'm totally comfortable with them. And so the way I interact with them is different than how I interact with Corey's character, the sheriff.
Right.
Because I'm kind of, you know, I mean, now, like, in season two, you saw that, like, I'm starting to stick up for myself more. It feels like a bit more of an equal partnership. But, I'm still, like, he's still my boss. Right.
Yeah.
So that's interesting to explore when I get to be with different actors, because I do change the way I act slightly to reflect that these are, like, childhood friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is the endearing quality of the show, I think, too, is that it's about, you know, you guys all knew each other from elementary school.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know anybody from my elementary school anymore.
No.
Not even close.
I had friends that went to a different school during our elementary years that I'm still in touch with. But yeah, right. I don't know if I have any elementary school friends left.
You're born and raised in BC?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, on the island. Few. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Did you grow up in Ontario?
No, worse.
Oh.
Yeah.
What?
The province that maybe should remain nameless.
Oh.
The Voldemort of provinces. Alberta.
Oh, I was like, I got to be careful what I guess here. I could just, like, offend a bunch of people.
No, I grew up in Alberta.
Oh, okay.
But I left before the oil. Like, I've lived here for 18 years.
Yeah.
I've lived here the longest.
Yeah, you're like a West. I was born in Alberta.
Oh, yeah?
But I only lived there for, like, 6 months. So
right.
I'm like a BC girl for sure.
Right.
What about you? Clayflaw. Oh, you grew Burnaby. Up here. Yeah.
Burnaby boy.
Were you born here?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's very unusual for Vancouver.
It is.
Yeah.
Nobody's born here.
I know. And in Burnaby, too.
In fact, can you produce your birth certificate?
No.
Oh, right. Because people in Burnaby didn't get them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they wanted their lives and their locations to remain secret, because they're a real community.
Well, it's just this mysterious, like, it's like the Bermuda Triangle. You just drive through it and then suddenly you're in Coquitlam.
It kind of, yeah. It kind of is like that in Burnaby. Like, what's its downtown?
Metrotown.
But no, soon to
be
old.
Soon to be Brentwood.
Like, in the olden days, what Hastings. Was its downtown? So, but
don't
it doesn't
Hastings,
have any.
Don't you think Hastings the height, was?
I, it yeah. must have
North,
been. But
for
it,
North Burnaby, yeah.
But it didn't have, doesn't have, like, an old town hall and an old, you know, like. Like Patience, Colorado does.
Like the fictional town of Patience, Colorado.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the other question? Oh, yeah. Here's my other question for you about the show, about your character.
About the show.
That people want to know this stuff. First of all, you have a comedic aspect, and you and Corey have your comedic aspects. Sometimes the writing that Corey does, honest to God, like, when you guys are doing those scenes, like, I don't even know how you do it. Because his dialogue is so insanely written.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't even know how he memorizes it. And then the way you have to play off of it. And I feel like in the show that everybody is kind of has, like, their straight person moments and then their comedic moments.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the only person that is kind of the straight person the whole time is Sarah Tomko.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Pretty much.
So it's an interesting dynamic and how, like, I don't know, it's just a unique format in that regard to me. Because there's so many comedic characters, right?
Yeah, no, and everyone's got that, like, I think so far, even in the first two seasons, we've seen, like, everyone have their, like, serious, like, heartfelt moments. Yeah. And then their, mm-hmm. like, zany moments and their pissy moments or whatever, right? So, yeah. No, it's kind of like someone, I never really watched it. I saw a couple episodes, but some people have compared it kind of to Northern Exposure.
Oh, yeah. Oh. I remember that show. I don't know it that well.
I don't know it that well either. I remember there was like a radio DJ.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the opening credits was a moose walking through the town.
Yeah. You know, they shot that in Seattle. It's like one of the only shows they ever
filmed. Really?
Yeah.
They shot Northern Exposure. I'm pretty sure.
I'm fairly certain. Yeah.
That's so weird.
You'd think they would have. Yeah, I know. I know. I don't know how that occurred, but I'm pretty sure. And so I don't feel like Googling it.
Maybe Washington, but maybe Washington State.
Yeah, but I think they were based out of Seattle.
Wow.
Kind of like how we're in Vancouver and then we shoot in Ladysmith.
You sure it wasn't like Oregon or something? Now, see, no. Now I want to know, JoJo.
We'll find out later, okay. And then we'll edit it in. Yeah. We'll cut it in.
We'll cut it in right now.
Now.
Northern Exposure was filmed in the small town of Roslyn in Washington State, which is just 1 hour out of Seattle.
Right now.
Okay, now we're back.
Yeah.
No, but it's a fun show to make.
Yeah.
They read a lot of stuff for you on on a spectrum of heartfelt and comedic.
Yes. Right?
So it's a great role for you.
Yeah, right? No, it's a fantastic role. Yeah. Like I still, you know, 3 seasons in, like I'll get the script or whatever and I'm like, I need to do this.
Yeah.
You know, because it's not like it doesn't happen in Vancouver to be, you know, regularly on a show, but it's not as common, you know, a lot of us have spent a lot of our careers sort of, you know, maybe being recurring or just like a guest star or just, you know, smaller roles. And so to actually have been with something for 3 seasons solid is like, at least very unusual for me in my career. It's a first.
Well, no, and you're right. There is a lot of, there's a lot of like, one line character, like, and then there's this kind of group of actors in Vancouver. There's like 50 of them that kind of just get all the parts. I don't know if you've noticed that.
Oh yeah, I remember when I first started out, I was always like, yeah. Oh, it went to so and so. Okay. Again. Oh, and so and so. Oh, there's so and so. Yeah.
I don't want to name names. But
yeah.
David Lewis. No, I'm just kidding.
Michael Eklund.
Mike Eklund. David Lewis has 250 credits.
I believe it.
Does he?
Oh my God.
Well, and he's not only does he play the mayor of Jessup in the show, but he was also, at least for a season or two, he was one of our readers in season one, he was one of our readers for our table reads.
Oh, really? He'd come in and do whoever wasn't there kind of
yeah,
thing?
Yeah, one and maybe, and two as well, maybe. Anyway, one of the seasons for sure, but.
This season I had a lot of fun because I was in the office, and this isn't a spoiler, but you guys would do the table read mm-hmm. kind of like across the hall from my office. And even though I'd have my door closed and those doors were closed, I can still hear all the laughs. And every once in a while you hear like, you know, like if Alan was doing a scene where he's yelling, you hear like, and then you just hear this rumble of laughter. And I'm just like, what a fun show to do. Like you guys are just cracking up at the scripts the first time you read it together. And it's just such a good feeling to hear that.
No, I didn't realize that you guys could hear us out there, but yeah, no, it is fun. And it was nice because season two, because of COVID, the first, I think, 6 episodes, we tried to do like those mass, like virtual reads. And, you know, the Wi-Fi was like going in and out because it's not so great there. And it would constantly be cutting out. People would accidentally be muted. Like it was not working out. So I think they gave up after like 6 episodes. So that's what was nice about this season is that we got to do the in-person table reads again, which we hadn't done since before the pandemic.
Mm. Right.
So, you know.
That's such an important thing too as a performer, right? To read through the script coherently, start to finish and feed off each other like the way, how's Corey going to say this or how's Alan going to say that?
And
yeah, that's really important to do before you get into shooting.
And it's nice to see it too because we tend to shoot with like our sort of our scene partners, we sort of got, you know, like Levi and Meredith shoot together a lot of their scenes, and like Alan and Sarah and me and Corey. And so you get to see what they're going to do. Like you get an idea, because then you don't see it until the show comes out.
You're not there that day when you shoot that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's nice.
Who do you do the scenes the least with? Alan?
Well, he and I felt like we did, I mean, not like compared to him and Sarah, it wasn't a lot, but I felt like we did quite a few scenes together in the first season and then a few in the second season. But yeah, it's...
He refers to you a lot in the scenes when you're not there.
Does he?
Yeah, like Harry does, doesn't he? Because one time he referred to you and Mike as Sheriff Hat and Deputy Sad Smile.
But can we say that? Because that's from season...
That's season two.
It's season two?
We're good.
Okay, good.
We're good on that.
Yes. That's out. Yeah, no. That's true. He has referred to our characters before in his like voiceovers, his narrated bits. Mm-hmm, but I would say maybe Alice.
You do the least scenes with Alice?
I feel like you're at the 59.
I mean, we've done a few times.
Girls' Night.
There's Girls' Night and stuff. But yeah, I honestly, maybe Kaylayla's character, Jay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I've only done, I think.
She's so nice.
She's the sweetest.
She's
talented. Awesome.
Everybody is really nice on this show,
mm-hmm.
right?
Like it's all true.
The actors and
yeah,
Robbie and Chris.
Yes,
it's a very nice environment.
No, it really.
It's probably one of the really nicest that I've worked in. It's it's not the easiest show I've ever done, but it's definitely the most kind of positive environment. That's for sure. Spiderwick was pretty positive and fun too.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Well, and I don't want to say what the food item was that you had to get me this season. But I bet I went through more of them than you thought.
I had to get it.
It's
for
not
you?
A spoiler. It's grilled cheese.
When was that?
When did we do that?
I don't know. I just remember I got sent a menu from Ben saying like, we get the food from White Spot.
Was it at the diner? Oh, God, I don't remember.
Yeah. The two props guys are like,
I'm trying to pretend like the grilled cheese is a spoiler. But anyway, I remember I asked you. I asked JoJo before because I was like, no, I'm actually going to like take a bite of them. Like I'm actually going to eat because I try and avoid eating as much as possible. And then
actors do.
Last season, there was the women in the diner.
Yeah.
Where we're all supposed to be having like dessert and stuff.
Yeah,
and
that was my episode.
And that was Clayton's episode. And we were all like, I didn't want to eat the desserts. I just wanted to eat the berries, like because Clayton got these awesome like organic blackberries, and we just kept eating them. And I think we ate you out of blackberries.
Yeah, I think
stock.
I had three left. I had three blackberries left.
Yeah,
that's a tough scenario. Food scenes are tough for props people and for actors.
Well, yeah,
it's not easy for anybody. Really,
you don't want to have like food in your teeth. You don't want to spit food out, but also it's a continuity issue for everyone. Because I'm like, oh,
pick up
God.
The fork on this line. You take a bite here and you take a sip of water there. It's like, oh.
Yeah, no, that's usually why I would have avoided it. But I found this review online of the show. What was it on? I can't remember. It was like
New York Times.
IMDb. Yeah.
Chicago.
Yes, it's the New York Times. And it was like IMDb or Rotten Tomatoes or something.
Oh, well, that's
And someone who watched the show did this huge rant about how I was the worst eater ever seen, and how that baseball scene from season two where I had to eat the hot dogs, how he could tell I wasn't really like taking bites and stuff. And I was like,
oh my God.
I'm like, I wanted to write, you should talk to JoJo, okay? Because he saw all those bites out of the tofu hot dog that he had to keep bringing me. But I was like, oh, that guy thinks I'm a bad eater? Well, I'm just going to attack this grilled cheese sandwich.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, so
is
you got back.
Really something somebody said?
Yeah. Jerk. And I'm making it sound like it's like do something crazy. I'm just eating a grilled cheese sandwich. But I did think of this anonymous poster like, oh, you think I don't know how to eat on television?
Of course
sure
it was anonymous.
Pal.
So, yeah. Chicken shit.
Yeah. Put your name up, dude.
Yeah. Brutal.
At least your Twitter handle.
Food fetish TV guy.
Remember?
Do you read stuff? Like, do you find yourself like reading stuff about
I totally do. I mean, it's usually when I'm, no, but it's usually if I'm like bored, right? Like there's nothing going on, whatever. And I'm like, let's see what they've said about us since last season on Rotten Tomatoes. And I start to read it and it's not always a good idea, right? Because someone might be like, I don't like so-and-so or so-and-so's stupid or whatever it is they say. But most of the time, even if it's like really negative, it makes me laugh because I'm like, what is going on in this person's life that they felt compelled to leave this like scathing review of something so minute.
Yeah.
It's sort of interesting, but sure, I'll read it. I mean, I think if you're going to believe all the nice stuff that people may say about the show or your performance or whatever, then I think you've got to believe the, maybe the bad stuff too, or you just avoid it all entirely. Yeah. Right.
So. I don't, yeah, we don't know what it's like really.
Well, have you ever seen any comments about props and things or?
Oh, God.
Well,
yeah. A bit. So, like, a lot of our continuity mistakes are on
it's
IMDb.
It's most of us, mostly us just crossing our fingers that no one noticed the big mistake we made.
Oh, was there something specific you remember about our show?
Oh.
You guys are like, no, because if we get a season 4, we would like to come back.
I don't think they would.
I fess up whenever I make a mistake. I'm like, oh, I did this. I didn't put the thing in or.
They don't even care. Yeah, like. Yeah. If you say to Robbie, like, oh, I fucked something up, he'll be like, oh, okay, well, we'll do this. Like, Robbie's, like, the best for that.
He's so chill because he is so good at his job, and he knows exactly what he's doing and what can be done and how it can be edited and this, that, and whatever, that he's just like, no, we'll fix it. And you're like,
Okay. Well, he's just got a great attitude about that kind of stuff, right?
Remember the helicopter day? That was so funny.
I've had two helicopter days with Robbie now.
We travel out to this satellite farm where that I didn't even know existed. It's this abandoned satellite farm, and there was supposed to be a helicopter that drops Alan off or Harry off, right? And the locations guy comes up to Robbie and he goes, "Hey Robbie, there's too much cloud cover that he can't fly in." And Robbie's like, "Okay. Then we won't have it. We'll just have him walk from the thing and
shot." Then that was that.
Yeah. No, seriously.
Because what are you going to do? Like, have
and
a hissy fit?
We've seen grown ass men throw tantrum fits
for way less
about stuff that
we've all seen that.
Yeah. It's
like a director maybe going like full ham and you're like, dude, it's not that deep.
And for anyone out there who doesn't know, we're talking about Robert Duncan McNeil.
Yes, Tom Paris on Star Trek. Which one is it? The Next Generation?
Voyager.
And Clayton, sorry, Robbie.
Fill us in on the one that we just discovered.
Oh, Clayfly, what was that?
Oh, I watched, for some reason, I watched Masters of the Universe.
He-Man.
Oh.
The movie.
And Robbie's in it? And it's here's the opening credits. And then it's like, Robert Duncan McNeil. And I stopped it, took a picture, sent it to Jordy. I was like, did you know this?
I didn't.
And he plays Courtney Cox's boyfriend.
Oh, right. That's right. He told me about that.
He looks so young.
Yeah,
he was it before like Tom Paris?
Yeah.
Yeah. I see when people were like Tom Paris, I'm like I've watched one episode of Star Trek.
Well, I hadn't watched it, but even so, he was familiar to me. Like when we first found out who our directing producer was going to be, you know, I looked him up on IMDb, and I was like, oh yeah, that guy looks familiar. Like his Tom Paris character. I don't know how. I must have just seen like posters around because I didn't watch it, but yeah.
Apparently, he was quite popular.
He's a big deal.
Ben got a Tom Paris action figure for our last show and tell and put it on the table, and Robbie thought that was pretty funny.
Oh, I have a friend who has a Tom Paris action figure, and she's like, if you want to, you can borrow it and like bring it to set and like pose it. And then I'm like, wait a second. This sounds a little more like this is for you.
Yeah, this is like, what you want.
Yeah, you want me to do this for you?
Put it on set.
Yeah.
I don't know what they would say about it. I don't think they would... We do that sometimes, though. We try and... I know guys that do that. They try to sneak in little figurines and stuff in every show they do.
Like even something like little sort of Easter eggs in the
It's not even an Easter egg. It's just like I know an on-set dresser.
Yeah,
say
Cody.
His name.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, whoops. And...
he won't mind.
We're back.
Got this little reindeer.
Yeah, he puts a little reindeer in every show. And he does big movies. Like, yeah. He's done...
It's a perfect thing because it goes on any set. Like, it doesn't look out of place anywhere you put it.
But I love stuff like that. Like, I like... You know what I mean?
Well, I have a story that I've told before on the Propscast, but I can say it again because it's been long enough, I think.
it's been long enough.
Well, we're officially recycling content.
Well, I was going to say, aren't you guys doing like one episode a year?
Pretty much.
That's sort of like our, yeah, it's
we've
our
done
schedule
two
right
in the last month, okay. And we're doing another one.
Yeah, so. We've got another one
Whoa,
coming up.
Oh, this is a big season
yeah.
for you
it's
guys.
A, it is, yeah. yeah. We're kind of, it's, you know, it's not easy doing this. It's not easy getting together and talking, if you can believe that or not.
Well, I know, because JoJo was half an hour late today.
Oh,
oh.
Outed.
Oh, JoJo. We love him so much.
I was grabbing a sandwich at Max's Deli. I'm
you
sorry.
Were grabbing a
And you didn't bring
sandwich?
One?
I'm sorry.
Oh.
It's for us?
Wow.
No, I didn't get you guys one.
Well, anyway.
I thought you wouldn't want one too, because you didn't want stuff in your teeth or whatever. You know.
But no one can see me.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, good try. Anyway, I have to ask you guys something. I've always wanted to ask you this, and I've never remembered until now. When you see those like Photoshop photos, and it's supposed to be the characters, and
yeah,
you're like,
yeah.
not on yeah. our show. I just mean in mm-hmm. almost anything I watch, movies and TV, and I'll be like, what the hell happened? Like, it's so, like, sometimes, like, the face color and the neck color don't match. Like, it's like, well, wait a second. Like, there's good Photoshop. Actually, Robbie McNeil's wife, Rebecca,
yeah.
is really good at Photoshop. And I'm like, well, so is that the props department that's Photoshopping these things?
No. That's the art department.
Oh, sorry. They make sorry, them art for departments. Us. Yeah.
That's okay. I mean, some are better than others. It's always tough. I think those photos, people, you kind of just have to get in the realm of a suspension of disbelief.
Yeah.
You kind of just have to go.
It becomes its own little movie. Like the whole process of like, okay, now we got to get this actor and this actor together and photo them. And it's like, there's so much discussion. Like, what are they doing in the photo? What do we need for that photo? What's the set deck, costumes, props that we need? And then there's never any time.
That's what I was wondering.
It's always like, this photo plays tomorrow. And you're like, oh.
And whenever we have to shoot them practically, like if they're like, we have to stage a picture that plays. It's always, nobody wants to do it. It's so last minute. It has to happen like between two scenes or whatever, right? And so
there's not the time to
hassle.
Do it. Yeah.
Unless it's like a really important thing, then they'll take like a day to do it or something, right?
But we saw something actually just in the past week. I can't remember what it was. And the Photoshop was really good. Like it looked believable. And I'm like, this is amazing.
Maybe it was AI.
Oh, no.
I know. Those big features, though, they'll schedule like a full day and a
like
unit
a
to do like, we're going to take these photos.
Yeah.
Man in the High Castle did that a lot, too, because there was a lot of photo shoots in that, right?
They did. I'm not sure we did tons. I was there. I staged a lot of them myself, personally.
Am I going to have people in art departments mad at me?
I think
y'all are amazing.
First of all, no. Second of all, they wouldn't say anything. They're a quiet bunch.
They're quiet. Yeah.
That you can barely get two words out of
them. They also don't listen to this show because they all hate us.
I'm like, hey, what are some of the rivalries in departments on?
Oh.
Oof.
Like
props,
just in
props
general. Props
against everybody else.
Really?
Yeah.
For starters, that's
Why?
A big one.
Oh.
Because everybody's always up in our grill.
We're getting into set pieces.
Getting
here.
In our
I
face.
Like this.
Yeah. No, I like this. I like when JoJo goes off.
Well, it's
everybody. We are the department that has to be. We just have to be there, ready to go, without any fuss or muss.
Right.
Right. You don't. Yeah. We are to be seen, not to be heard. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we just have to be there, right there, right at that moment. If you're not at that moment, you look like an idiot. Right.
But that you guys are. And I know I've told you this, so this isn't just me, you know, blowing smoke. You guys are so good at your job.
Thank you.
Like,
thank you.
You have been ready for anything.
Thank you. We really try. And I think it's deep down inside we're slowly dying.
Oh, no.
Just to make that.
But what did you say to me earlier? You're like, I was listening to an old episode of it. We sounded so happy.
Yeah, we did. These episodes are like time capsules because if you listen to, like, I just listened to one today.
That was pre-COVID, I think.
That was pre-COVID.
Oh,
and
we
it was
so
like,
innocent then.
We were talking about, you know what the episode was about? Because I was seeing if we had done any other alien-themed ones.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about Area 51. Remember when people were going to storm it?
The storming of Area 51.
Do you remember that? When, like, all these internet morons got together and were like, we're going to storm Area 51.
No, I don't remember that.
See, this is part of like the news too, because like I completely forgot about it.
Yeah, but it was a big thing.
It was huge.
For like a week.
Oh,
and then people were like, are they actually going to do it?
Is it going to storm Area
51? These nerds going to go get down there and get shot?
Are these nerds? Oh,
by the government?
Okay. Oh, yeah. No,
turns out like
that.
20 people showed up and they went to a diner or something.
Oh, sort of like a Trump rally.
Yeah.
Yes, but props are, we are involved with every department.
Right.
Like we need help from other departments, or we have to help other departments.
There's so much crossover with everybody.
There's so many things dependent on, like, for me, if the show is going to be good or bad, it's a lot of things come into effect. A lot. Like, is the cast nice? Is the director nice? Is the DOP nice? Is the first AD nice? Is the script supervisor nice? Is the key grip a good guy? Is he going to be able, because you know you're going to rely on a key grip at some point.
Are costumes
some sort of
help. Helpful?
Are concept costumes helpful?
Yeah.
Is the onset dresser good?
There's so many things because it affects us. And so we cross over with the most departments.
Well, that would make sense because I've definitely, you know, seen you guys, like, I feel like you guys are in the tent. That's like where the actors are hanging out between takes. But I feel like you guys are in the tent the most, maybe
besides sound,
besides
costumes.
Well, sound and costumes, but you guys seem to have to come because, you know, if we break for lunch and then you take, like on our show, you take all my GAC or some of my GAC. GAC is like pens and badges and props and things.
And guns.
and they have to help us with our gun belts, which I know they don't, but for some reason, it feels like when I was a kid and my mom would put sunscreen on me and I was like, oh, this is like the worst. There's something about like the gun belt where I'm like, it's like 30 pounds and it's not.
It's not comfortable. I put it on
you?
I'm like, I couldn't imagine wearing this all day.
Because Corey and I are always like, I thought it was just me because, you know, I've got like woman hips. But I guess Corey has it too, because whenever we have to sit down in a chair on the show, if anyone's ever, you know, remembering this and watching, I've been like, I get like twist my hips sort of go down sideways a bit, because otherwise you're like gun, but like all the stuff on your gun belt is like hitting and like lying over the arms of the chairs. And Corey, the season when we were shooting, he was like, I have to like twist. And I was like, oh good, it's not just me. But yeah, we have to do a little
picture Corey saying,
we have to do a little adjustment in order to be able to sit down without like someone yelling cut, because we've just made so much noise or something. But yeah,
for anyone out there who doesn't know, when the character of Liv wears a cardigan in the office.
Oh,
those are the best days.
She doesn't have to wear her gun belt.
Yes.
It's a cardigan day.
By, I don't know who made the decision. I guess Robbie. Robbie was like, yeah, sure. She just doesn't have to wear it. Like, it's not a big
deal. Well, because I asked, because I thought it would look really weird to have a cardigan over a gun belt, too. Like, it's like, so there's definitely been times in the scripts over the last two seasons, especially, because I think I got the cardigan last season, right?
Yeah, season two.
Yeah, but it was sort of summer for part of last season, so maybe that's why I didn't wear it as much. But sometimes I'll look at a script and I'll be like, I think, you know, Liv would have been like, she's already in the office, so she's taking her gun belt and she's got a cardigan on. Like, I'm always pushing for the cardigan.
We call that props logic.
Mm.
Yeah.
Where we read a scene and we're like, you know what would be really awesome is if we didn't have to deal with this umbrella. And then we create a whole backstory of like,
he
went to the office and then dropped this off and then went to the car. And so that's why he doesn't have
it. No, but actors do that too, right? Because they were like, I don't think they'd have the da-da-da because I think like they had to go to the bathroom. So then they came back to the office. Like it's.
And then you watch the show and you're like, you don't even notice that they're...
There's no way that you would ever need to explain these scenarios that we create, right?
But I also like when I get to wear the cardigan because them cop pants ain't super flattering. So if I can wear a little cardigan where I'm not having to just walk around in those brick shithouse pants, then I do.
Do you enjoy the days where you're just in your civvies?
Like,
do you just enjoy that?
Well, because I don't have a bunch of... I mean, of course, it's always fun seeing you guys, but I don't have a bunch of props. I don't have the gun belt. I don't have the... you know, the polyester, everything's polyester with the uniforms. So yeah, I love it because I'm like, oh, this is so normal. It doesn't take me 5 minutes to have to try and get everything off before I go to the bathroom. Like, that's nice.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. Okay, so back to departments hating each other.
Oh, yeah.
Give us a couple of your set peeves.
Oh yeah,
as we like to call them.
Set peeves. Well, I would say, is that a siren?
Yeah.
It happens all the time.
It's so strange though, because we've got these on, I can't hear it, but I can hear it through here.
Okay, yeah.
Anyway. Sorry guys, breaking the fourth wall or whatever the wall is when you're doing a podcast.
People just the first wall.
Yeah, first wall. Okay. I know when there's someone, and it can be anyone. It can be from, it can be, you know, a crew member to anyone. Crew member, front of camera, behind the camera. And someone feels very strongly about something, which is totally fine. But sometimes I think it's easy to forget, no matter what side of the camera you're on, that like everyone's there. We all want to work. We all want to get the job done. You know, like ideally we don't want to hold each other up. But sometimes when someone is just like, no, but it's got to be this or whatever department that is from, or if it's an actor or whatever. And you're like, yeah, I get it, because everyone wants it done right. But then sometimes you're like, okay, like it's not like it's not that deep.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
There's certain
the
things.
The fussing.
And I understand it because there's a lot of pressure. And I feel like every person on a show has pressure, maybe coming from different places, but there's kind of everyone's feeling pressure. So I feel like when you're on set, even though you might know everyone and like everyone and you know you're good at your job or whatever it is, there's that pressure where you're like, oh fuck, I can't, like it's a Friday night and I don't want to forget my lines because I know like everyone wants to go home, right? There's just like all these different areas or facets of our day where there's different kinds of pressure, like in all aspects of a crew and cast.
But you got to pick your battles.
Yeah.
I've been on both sides of that. Like I've been the guy where like that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like in this shot, in this scene, that doesn't matter. Let's move. Let's keep going.
Yeah.
And I've also been the guy be like, no, we have to do it this way, because it's like I won't name names, but
yeah,
I was on a pretty high profile show with a very expensive prop that did several things practically, and it was a big to do, and they didn't want to use it, and I was like, no, we're doing an insert of it, and we're doing it right, because I know like a lot of money and time went into this, and it was done with all these specifications that you guys asked for. We're shooting it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm sorry. But
I'm going to guess altered carbon. Just
Oh, you said it. And we're back. No.
Because I know I was going to get a phone call if I didn't advocate for
it. It's a big deal. And also, I don't know that everyone knows just how much money goes into certain props or how much time it can take for certain props or set pieces or, you know,
I know,
whatever. It can be a lot, and it's like a labor of love kind of. I mean, I know we're all doing our jobs too, but like, you know, you guys are really good at your job, and that reflects in what we see when we're watching the show, but that doesn't come cheap in terms of your time.
No. And really in the end, we're playing dress up with millions of dollars.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you kind of just have to go, yeah, that's what we're doing here. So,
yep.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like putting on a show in your basement for your parents, but with a lot of money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like the production values when you're a kid, but like, I don't know if you ever had this. I remember when I was little and we would do these, we lived in this neighborhood that was like up at the top of a cul-de-sac. So like all the families knew each other, all the kids played together. And every once in a while we'd do like a parade. But the parade, I guess, because all the kids were in it, was really for the parents. And like a lot of our parents were working or they were just tired. They didn't have time to watch us like do our parade. Yeah. But we'd do this parade.
Sounds hilarious.
And I'd be like, okay, guys. So like I somehow imagine we were, you know, there were millions of people. And I was like, okay, guys. So for the kids that are watching the parade that are going to get bored, the little kids, I think we should throw like toy cars so they have something to play with during the parade. And it's like literally the parade is, you know, 2 minutes long and we're just dressed up in random costumes and like there's no one watching it. I'm like, we should also get some candy just in case anyone gets hungry and we can throw candy. Like these, you know, these sort of crazy production
you
values
had it
that
all
you
got.
I miss that aspect. You talking about a parade that way
yeah.
makes me miss it. like just parades.
Yeah.
Remember getting candy thrown at you? Oh.
Yeah.
Scrambling to pick up the taffy or whatever it was.
So exciting.
And the double bubble.
And the fire truck would like light up the lights and you're
and
like,
the and the Shriners on their mini motorcycles. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Now here's an idea. I'm just spitballing here.
Yeah.
When we see Chris Sheridan again, let's pitch a parade scene for season
parade.
A Patience Parade. Every crew department head would love it for starters.
Oh, yeah. Do you think they'd actually love it? I was thinking it would be a continuity nightmare.
I've done a parade. Have you done a parade?
No, I haven't.
I've done a parade.
Oh, my God.
It is a nightmare.
I bet it
is. I can't even imagine it. I think it would be for everyone. Like
we had a marching band. Guess who had to do all the instruments, balloons.
Clayton, when was this on?
Haters Back Off.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's...
How do you reset it, or do you just keep going with it, or what do you do there?
You just back it up a little bit.
It's back. Oh my God.
Well, how was, in season two, when we did the family day, how was that for you guys? Because I know it obviously involved, like, the art department, and
that
like,
was
there
was a busy,
all sorts of things.
That was a busy thing.
Yeah.
What was the family day?
Remember when you hit Levi with the water balloon?
Yes, the family day, and, like, Harry and his daughter, Liza.
Yeah.
Did you know, hear about that, how I did that?
No. What, tell me, what?
Oh, my God.
There's like the water balloon fight.
Right.
So and, Harry and his daughter, Harry and Liza.
Is it Liza?
Liza.
God, I'm so bad with this.
Liza. No, but I just can't remember if it's Liza or Eliza. Okay.
Liza are there's like a water balloon section to the family day fair. Yeah. Right. And they start throwing water balloons at each other, and Mayor Ben comes in. He's like, hey guys, let's try and be, you know, whatever. Does his
I bit. Like your Mayor Ben.
And they both turn on him and start throwing them at him.
Yeah.
And he gets nailed with water balloons. So of course we do his coverage first and Harry Alan and
I don't know her name, played by
the beautiful and talented Taylor Blackwell. Yeah.
Thank you, Taylor. God, thank you that you're here. So they're like, they're not on set yet, right? So they're like, Jordy, can you throw the water balloons at Levi? And I'm like, sure.
Yeah.
So I have experience throwing stuff at actors in my career before, right?
You're like, but
so
those times
like,
I got fired.
They're like, try and get them like kind of in the chest. They kind of give me a specific area, like kind of in the chest because it's kind of a tighter shot.
Right.
And I'm pretty far back. So the first, take, they're just like, okay, and action. And he comes in and says his line. They're like, okay, and on that line, that's when you throw the first one. And then just keep throwing them. So I got like four in my hands. And then I have a whole bucket of them beside me, right? So the first one, I wind up and I just fucking let one fly. I mean, I played baseball for 18 years.
Right.
And I hit him right in the eyeball.
Boom! Oh, no. Oh, no. Poor meatball.
And they... Poor Levi. And they don't say cut. So I just keep... And he just, you know, buries his head and turns around. And nobody says cut. I can't remember who was directing. I think it was...
was it Leah? No.
I think it was Leah.
Yeah, I think it was Leah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
That Leah. So I just keep doing it. I just keep throwing them like really hard too. Like bam, bam, bam. Like one after the other. And then finally Jody, the first AD, because he could tell that he was hurt. And Jody Ryan is like, he comes in and he's like, God, he's hurt.
Oh, no.
So we all walked over and his eyes like bright red. And I'm like, oh, my God, did I just ruin the day? Are they going to be able to shoot him? And oh, my God, it was.
I don't.
He was okay, though.
That.
He was okay. And then Chris comes up to me and he's like, because I'm like, Chris, I'm so sorry because I know that that can go south. Like that can go bad real quick, right?
Yeah.
If something happens to an actor's face or cut or something, it's not good. And I say to Chris Sheridan, I go, I'm really sorry. Like I didn't mean to hit him that hard in the face. And Chris is like, yeah, you know, I feel bad for him. But we're definitely using that footage.
That's still, I could, because I was going to say, as soon as you said Chris Sheridan came up, I was like, I don't know. I think Chris, probably part of him would have thought it was like, pretty cool.
That's a silver lining.
Yeah. I asked Levi, because obviously it wasn't like it was a baseball or a rock or something, it would have been bad. But I was like, did it? He's like, it just felt like somebody snapped an elastic band right into his eyeball.
Oh, ouch. So, ouch.
And then we had to do more coverage of it. So then I'm trying desperately not to hit him in the face.
Yeah.
Which was kind of even harder. Then would we do it again? And then Taylor who plays Liza,
yeah.
she hits Alan right in the eyeball. And I was like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Some of the pressure softened.
Yeah, someone else did. Well, and there was also the scene with the peppers eating scene,
yeah.
right? At the family day with Asta and Darcy. And then yes. what was the other?
Jenna.
Judy.
Judy was in it, yeah.
Yeah, Judy Pooper. Yeah.
Yeah, and Ellen.
Oh, yeah, Ellen was in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
Diana Bang.
Diana Bang.
Oh, I love Diana Bang.
And she wins yeah. it. That was a hard scene to fucking do, too.
Oh,
God,
yeah.
That was hard.
It was a hard scene to prep because we were trying to find the right peppers that look hot.
Right.
But aren't hot.
So you had to get those, like, skinny bell peppers.
Yeah. Probably, right? And I think we dehydrated because I had done this on iZombie. There was a whole peppers subplot on that show, the ghost peppers, where you dehydrate these little. Not jalapenos, but they're the same size. And
right.
They should be all shriveled.
Right.
So you put them in the dehydrator, and it's just like a lot of work.
Everybody was a real trooper that day. Alice, yeah. Sarah, Diana, because it was gross. And they had to eat a ton of them.
Well, thank goodness they were delicious bell peppers.
I don't know if they weren't really that delicious. Oh, I tried one.
Yeah, I tried one, and I was like, sorry, guys.
They were just really wet. Like some of them were dehydrated, then some of them were kind of different.
Some of them were just like regular yeah. peppers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just gross.
I was on iZombie for one episode. I played Pirate Waitress number 2. I just want you to know. But it was a very elaborate, amazing costume the costumes department made. Sorry, just a little aside. And I was so excited because I was totally broke. It was one day work, which if anyone knows, if you're working one day for scale and you're not working like 300 and however many other days of the year, like it's not a lot of money once you pay your agent, whatever, but they needed me for 3 fittings to get this like pirate waitress costume going.
Right.
And I was able to pay my rent with those 3 fittings. I was so excited. Anyway,
nice.
Little aside.
That's a peek into the working actor's life.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Was it weird to see our faces for the first time? Be honest.
No, it wasn't with you guys because you guys actually kind of looked like what I pictured.
I don't believe you.
No, you really did. You really did. Because I told you, you remind me of a friend of mine. Oh. And so I kind of filled in the bottom half of your face like his face. And it is slightly different, but you guys are not dissimilar. So, and then Jojo, I don't know, your mask was always kind of slipping down. You could kind of see.
Oh, boy.
No, not under your nose. But you could always kind of tell, like, you know, with your face. And you could see that you had.
The pain in my eyes.
A ZZ Top beard. And,
true. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
I actually, somebody was saying that, you know how some guys have those ZZ Top beards?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they have those
the special masks.
And they kind of look like a loincloth.
Oh,
they're gross.
They're so gross.
There was this costume
I'm
girl.
So sorry, guys, but it's gross.
Costume lady on Susan O'Hara was saying how she hated them so much and how disgusted she was by them.
Well, because it's like sack of facial hair, like resting weird. In this like mask sack.
Yeah. It's like, what's underneath there? Yeah. Is it a face or is it something else?
just a bunch of human hair.
Oh, it's so funny.
I hate to be that producer type, but we're coming up to an hour and we haven't even broached the topic. So do you want to just skip the topic?
I think we just skip it.
And just keep, you want to go for a couple more minutes or sure. You're running out of time?
No, whatever you guys want. How are you doing for time, Jojo? Do you need to go and get a sandwich from Max's Deli?
Another one?
Yeah.
No, I just say we just do 10 more minutes of just the banter.
Love it. Yeah.
Forget the topic.
No, it's great.
Okay. You're not.
Write out a list of alien movies, so but whatever.
Oh, you did that you've seen?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know.
Hey, well, if you want to talk about X-Files.
I wanted to talk about X-Files, but I'm not going to anymore.
Oh, Cliff.
It's my favorite show.
Do you do Comic-Cons or of any sort for this show?
Oh, great question. I wanted to ask that too.
Oh, yeah. Last summer, I did my very first Comic-Con, and it was the big. It was San Diego.
The big one.
The big one.
Really?
Yeah. So
How was it?
Oh, you guys. Well, first of all, I have to admit, and Jojo and Clay Flaw will know this, that I'm, you know, very COVID shy.
Yes.
So yeah. I hadn't gotten on a plane yet. Like during the whole pandemic. And so this was my first plane ride in like however long it was then. Like
probably about 3 years.
Two and a half years. Because I think we'd flown over just before the pandemic for season one. Anyway, but so I was super duper nervous about being on a plane just because do you remember at the beginning of the pandemic, it always felt like people were getting it on a plane?
Yeah.
Somehow, like, and so I totally
Well, that was
associated.
The rule. Like, if you traveled, you got it.
You got it, right? Pretty much.
That was kind of how it was going.
So, was flying for the first time and then whatever. So there was, and I was so nervous because I'd never done anything like that. So I was like showing up like I was like a live wire, not in the like violent way, just in a like, I was so nervous and I didn't know what to expect. And, you know, people like Alan, obviously.
He's been doing it for years.
Totally done Comic-Cons. And I know that in before season one came out of the show, I think Sarah and Corey and Alan at least had done the New York one.
Oh, yeah.
I think. So I think pretty much everyone there had done one before, with the exception of maybe Levi. I don't know if Levi had. But to have that be your first one when it's so huge, it was such a vibe, but it was so cool because everyone there, like, you know, when you'd walk through the streets, because our hotels were downtown, and you'd walk through the streets, and it's like Mardi Gras, but everyone's really nice.
Oh, okay.
Like, I'm not saying people were mean at Mardi Gras, but like everyone really was so happy to be there. Like all of the, you know, Comic-Con, like the people who came to like cosplay and all that stuff. So it was such a good vibe, even if it was insane, because the level of like energy and the sheer number of people. But we had to do a bunch of press, and that was new for me. So I was like cross-eyed and exhausted by the end of it. But then when we got to do the panel and it's, you know, I know there's some people who just go there and just go to panels that sound interesting. They might not necessarily have watched a specific show, but they want to go and check out some of the actors. But I'm not sure how big that room was, like how many people it held. Maybe 800. I don't know. But they were all so into listening and like asking questions, and they were so supportive. Like, it was crazy because you come out and everyone's like,
right.
And you're thinking, surely this must be a dream, because we hadn't really had a chance to meet fans.
Right. Yeah.
Until last summer, because of like COVID stuff. And also you couldn't travel back and forth across the border without quarantining. And so it was wild. Like, I would totally do it again, but it is like, it is such a specific, like huge, like crazy energy. But everyone who was there was so respectful and so happy to be there. So it was really cool. Have you guys ever been?
No. Not to the San Diego one. I've been to the one here.
The Vancouver
Fan
one,
Expo.
Yeah. Right.
And it's the same vibe. Like, when you're describing it, I'm like, oh, I've felt that.
Yeah.
And it's so cool to see, especially with, even if you just sit outside and watch people with their costumes, and you're like, these are the introverts, the shy people having their time in the spotlight.
Yeah.
It's really heartwarming to see, right?
Oh, it's lovely. Like, literally, people were so, like, even though the partying would go, and I was on the second floor of the hotel, so I could hear everything. The party and the music and everything would go on till like 3 a.m, sometimes 4 a.m. But for some reason, it didn't bother me, because it wasn't like an entertainment district, like drunk, gross fighting noise late into the night. It was just a bunch of people who were so excited. So
LARPing.
Like, yeah. Wait, what's LARPing again?
Live action role play.
Oh, yeah. LARPing. Yeah. But with booze. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
I've never done any. The most fandom thing I ever did, I guess, was go to the Green Gables house in PEI.
Oh, JoJo.
I'm a big Anner. What do they say?
A big Anner.
Yeah, well, I'm like, is that a thing?
I'm a Gabler.
I'm a Gabler. I love Anna Green Gables.
Oh, I loved
and
Anna
I
Green
took my
Gables.
Daughter to the place and the whole thing. And
I
the
would
whole
have
experience.
Loved to see the it's, Anna Green Gables you know house. Like, and PEI is beautiful, right? Like, I've seen pictures, but I've never been. It's
in just, the summer, yeah.
Oh.
Go in the summer. Go like right in the dead of summer, like July.
No, summer. I would like to go. I would like to go. It looks magical.
I mean, it's no San Diego Comic Con.
It's no San Diego Comic Con.
It has its history.
There's a lot of people with pigtails, though.
Yeah.
Cosplaying.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are there people who dress up like Anne of Green Gables?
No,
there?
But so that we got to the house really early, the Anne house that they've built. And they have a girl who's in character who looks like Anne.
Yeah.
And she comes up to us and she's like, "Hi, welcome to Green Gables." And we do all this stuff and we take pictures with her and whatever. My mom says to her, Oh, and where can I find the, because they sell the Anne hats with the fake orange braids
right.
attached to them, right? Yeah. My mom's like, where can I find those hats with the braids? And the girl's like, well, whatever do you mean? I don't know what
you're doing. Because she's doing the historical arena.
Yeah, and my mom's like, no, seriously, where are they?
Yeah, I want to get them okay.
Can you shut up for a second?
Can we just like drop the character and give me the info?
And she didn't break it. And I'm like, Mom, she's not going to break it. And my mom's like, oh my God.
So. How one woman brought down the Anne of Green Gables empire.
Yeah, ruined it for everybody.
Oh, and is it a very specific, like, I don't know why I'm picturing like red clay soil.
It is.
Yeah.
There's this place called Cavendish, and then there's this beach called Cavendish Provincial Park, and it's like legit like red, orange.
And potatoes.
Yeah.
A lot of potatoes grown.
It's the biggest potato source in Canada, I think.
Yeah.
Which is so weird.
That is weird.
Alberta's got a pretty big one too.
Yeah.
Alberta.
Whatever.
Uh-oh.
Who cares?
Oh, no.
Old Dutch. Who cares?
Did Old Dutch come from Alberta?
Yeah.
Really?
The chips?
Yeah.
Why did I always think that was BC?
No, they're from Alberta.
I didn't know that.
Brooks.
I thought they were from the Netherlands because they had a windmill on
it. It has nothing to do with the Dutch at all.
You're like, I thought they were legitimately Dutch. Yeah. Because it said so in the name.
Yeah. I was lied to.
Yeah.
No, it's Canadian.
Would you ever do voice acting?
Oh, I for sure would. I just never... I sort of gave it a little bit of a go, but there is such a tight group of like... really seasoned, really good voiceover artists here in Vancouver that I always felt like I didn't know if I wanted to put as much energy as I thought it would take to like try and get crack in the door. Yeah. So I did do like some auditions. My first audition actually, I got shortlisted. So I was like, well, smooth sailing from here. I'm going to be able to buy a house or whatever. And I didn't get it, but I would totally do it. That would be so much fun.
It's kind of easier, isn't it?
Do you think?
I don't know.
You don't have to worry about what you look like. You don't have to worry about if you've got like seven chins when you're talking.
You don't even have to go anywhere. You can do it from home.
Oh, if you've got a proper setup.
You just get this and some, you know, in a closet.
Yeah.
But don't you have to have a director? Like if you're actually doing it.
They do it over the
Zoom?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because when I do ADR for the show, for our show, I go to like a studio, but I'm getting notes and direction from someone in LA, I think.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, you don't have to be in the same place for sure.
That's interesting.
And then it's like,
how much ADR do you have to do?
Boop, 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 boop.
And then you're like,
I can't find them.
Yeah. No, but sometimes it'll be like, boop, boop, boop. Like my character sighed. No, literally, it's been, I think I've had to do a sigh before. I've had to do a, like a tisk kind of thing.
Oh, like a little cluck?
Like there's been random things and you're like, you'd think this would be the easiest, but it isn't sometimes. So I felt like I did a lot in season two, but then that was because season two was the biggest season, right? Because season one was 10 episodes.
Right.
Season two was 16.
Yeah.
So I felt like there was a lot more on season two.
Right.
And right now we're not having to do ADR and stuff because everything's
shut down
because of the strike.
Yeah.
And by the way, I hope the WGA gets everything that they're asking for.
I agree.
Oh, hopefully. Yeah.
Support the writers.
Yep. Support the writers.
Just so you know, too, the sigh and the tisk that you just did, we own that because this is our podcast.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, you guys.
I'm going to be using that.
You're going to have to duke it out with the studio.
Well, as of right now.
Were you in character when you did those examples?
The studios are not in me and Clayton's good books right now.
Oh, no.
For the record.
Really? Do you want to get into that right now?
Well,
IATSE doesn't like us either.
Yeah,
what?
No.
Why doesn't our own union like you?
Well, when they found out we were doing this podcast, I'll probably cut this out because we've talked about it before. But
no, we should revisit it.
They found out we were doing this podcast and they got excited.
Yeah.
So they contacted us and they interviewed us. And then they were like, we're going to do like a write-up in the Union Diocese like magazine.
Kaleidoscope, it's called.
Okay.
It's like a newsletter type thing.
So it came out, no article. And then we found out later that they said we swear too much. So they disowned us.
Is JoJo swears too much?
Yeah. I swear too. Don't I?
There's no. some episodes,
you're cool.
though.
You're cool, Clayfla.
There's some episodes where Damn we swear it. A lot.
Oh, isn't that funny?
Yeah, not today as much, but there's other episodes where I listen to where we're just like, lighten it up.
I think, you know what it is? I think it's when we're working.
Probably.
Like when we're on a show, we pick up that oil, that oil rig.
Are you kidding? Everyone does. That's why I was going to say, like, they'd have a problem with you swearing because
I know
anyone
it's
been
like,
on a set, everyone's swearing. No,
the people who work in our union, well, one guy has, but most people, they're just, they're, I don't know what it is. They're lost.
Because there is so much swearing on a set, it's crazy.
It is
you
crazy.
You have to swear.
Look
otherwise,
at Judah's
you don't fit
swear
in.
Jar.
I know. Judah, $250. Yeah, is that how big it is now?
I think so.
Yeah, he has a swear jar. He tried it on me then, and I was like, nope.
Yeah. When we come back, if we come back for season 4 and do it, Judah's gonna look like a 16-year-old man.
I know. Judah is gonna look 30
he's
if
gonna
we
have,
do a season.
He's gonna
4.
Have crow's feet and everything.
Literally, he's gonna have like a wife and kids, or you know, whatever, and he's gonna own a home.
He came into the office, and I legit did not know who he was.
He's gonna come in with a little briefcase.
Well, a little
in
briefcase
a suit.
In a suit with a briefcase because it's 1970. But I'll have to show you guys after we're done. I'll have to show you a picture of Corey and I in character when a day we were shooting scenes with like Judah, and you have to see how tiny he was because I showed it to his mom a couple months ago, and we're like, oh my god, he was so little
from season 1.
Yes, he was just this little. He was like, you know, he was like a little kid. He's like a little boy.
Yeah,
and now he's like his voice is. Starting to change. Yeah.
He's so nice. His mom is so nice.
Yeah. Leah's mm-hmm. awesome.
And Judah is so nice. Like when he comes around and gives everyone candies.
I
and
know.
Stuff.
Like, or like, yeah. I know. It's so sweet.
Keep
I can't.
It up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't lose that.
I know. Great. No. Gracie too. Yeah. Those are good kids.
Yeah. They are good kids.
It's a good show. Okay. Well, should we
wrap her up?
Wrap
yeah.
up?
Do you guys have a special sign off where you do like a little song or something?
Not a song. Well, do you want to do a song?
No. No, I don't.
Good, because we don't have a song.
Okay.
No, but thank you for coming on. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, thanks
thank
for
you so
having
much.
Me,
please
guys.
Come back.
I totally will come back. We okay. were going to do this last summer. I don't know what happened. What happened, guys?
I don't know.
We kept working.
Oh.
Yeah, we got busy.
Yeah, that's okay.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. And thanks to Dan for our music and my sister Amanda for our graphics. You can follow us on Instagram at ThePropsCast. And you can email us at thepropscast@gmail.com. I'm Clayton.
I'm Jordy.
I'm Elizabeth Bowen.
This has been The Propscast. Bye.